The final out of the game was caught in center field, and before the ball had finished dropping into the glove, the Venezuelan dugout had emptied onto the field, and in the stands, 20,000 people who had been screaming for 3 hours found something deeper than a scream. When Venezuela defeated the United States 3-2 in the World Baseball Classic Championship, they did not just win a baseball game. They won something that has been building since the 1940s, when American oil companies first set up baseball diamonds in the Venezuelan lowlands to give their Venezuelan workers a recreational outlet, not knowing, or perhaps not caring, that they were handing the country a language it would one day use to announce itself to the world at the highest possible level. In Miami, where hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans have settled across decades of economic migration and political exile, the celebration rolled through the streets before the broadcast had ended. In Caracas, where the country has been navigating one of the most prolonged economic crises in Latin American history, people emerged from their homes into streets that had been dark and difficult and filled with political weight for years, and they did something the city had not quite managed for a long time. They celebrated together. The World Baseball Classic, which has been running since 2006, had seen Venezuela reach the semifinals multiple times, produce rosters that featured some of the most celebrated players in Major League Baseball, and fall just short of the title it always seemed capable of claiming. This year was different. Baseball came to Venezuela as an import. That is the official record, and it is accurate as far as it goes. American oil company employees brought the game in the 1940s. The equipment arrived before the Spanish language vocabulary, for it did. The country learned the game quickly, adopted it completely, and began producing players of extraordinary quality by the 1960s. What the import story doesn't capture is what happened next. Venezuela did not merely adopt baseball. It transformed the social and cultural role of the game until it bore the particular signature of the country that had absorbed it. Venezuelan baseball is not American baseball played in a hot climate. It is a different expression of the same sport. Faster in some ways, more improvisational in others, carrying the specific weight of a culture that has always been asked to prove itself against wealthier and more powerful neighbors, and that is found in the baseball diamond, a space where the proof is available. The names that came out of Venezuela across the second half of the 20th century and into the 21st, names that every baseball fan recognizes, names that appear in Hall of Fame discussions and World Series histories, are not a coincidence of geography. They are the product of a specific cultural investment. In Venezuela, historically, a boy who could play baseball was a boy whose options were not entirely determined by his family's economic position. The diamond was one of the few spaces where talent, demonstrated publicly, could translate directly into opportunity. This created a country of extraordinary baseball investment, top to bottom. It also created, particularly in the Venezuelan interior and in the cities that ring the coastline, a culture of evaluation. Every father knew how to read a swing. Every grandmother knew what a good arm looked like. The game was not entertainment watched from a distance. It was a craft practiced and assessed by everyone who cared about the men and boys who played it. The Venezuelan generation that won the 2026 World Baseball Classic grew up during the Maduro years. That is the paradox that baseball analysts noticed before the first pitch of the tournament, and that the country's victory has now placed in historical context. The years of the Maduro presidency, the years of economic collapse, the hyperinflation that made Venezuelan currency almost valueless, the food shortages, the rolling power outages, the mass emigration that took an estimated 7 million Venezuelans out of the country between 2015 and 2023 were years of profound difficulty for every institution in Venezuelan civil society. Healthcare, education, infrastructure, all degraded. Baseball academies did not degrade. They intensified. The reason is specific. As legal economic opportunity contracted in Venezuela under the economic crisis, the value of baseball as an escape route to Major League Baseball organizations in the United States, to contracts that paid in dollars, to careers that could sustain extended families, became even more acute. Families who could not afford food were finding ways to keep their sons in training. Academies that operated on minimal infrastructure found ways to maintain facilities when everything else was collapsing because the community understood exactly what the academies represented. Scouts from American Major League teams operating in Venezuela throughout the crisis years documented something they found surprising: the quality of the talent they were finding in academies operating in conditions that would close most American high school programs was not diminishing. It was increasing. The pressure of scarcity had not eliminated baseball development in Venezuela. It had concentrated it. The boys who came through those academies during the hardest years, who trained on crumbling fields with equipment that was repaired rather than replaced, who played in front of families whose primary hope for their own futures was watching the boys succeed, became the men who were standing on a field in March of 2026 when the final out was made and the Venezuelan flag was raised over the World Baseball Classic Championship. The diaspora story is as important as the domestic story, and in some ways more complicated. The approximately 7 million Venezuelans who left the country between 2015 and 2023 did not stop being Venezuelan. They stopped being resident in Venezuela, which is a different thing. In Miami, in Bogota, in Santiago, in Madrid, in Toronto, the Venezuelan diaspora carried with it the specific cultural investments that Venezuela had made in its people, including baseball. Some of the players on the 2026 championship roster grew up in Venezuela and left. Some were born in Venezuela and finished developing their game in American minor league systems. Some were the sons of Venezuelan immigrants who grew up in the United States and chose to represent Venezuela internationally rather than the country they held citizenship in. The roster represents, in its construction, exactly the complexity of what Venezuelan national identity has become. Distributed across geography, sustained by cultural investment rather than geographic residence, capable of coalescing around a shared inheritance when the moment requires it. When the final out dropped in center field and the celebration began, it was not just the 25 men on the roster who felt the win. It was the 7 million who left. It was the 30 million who stayed. It was the families in Maracaibo and Valencia and Maturin who had sent a boy to a baseball academy on a crumbling field during the worst years in recent memory. Baseball was America's gift to Venezuela in the earliest telling of the story, but gifts become the possession of the people who receive them. And Venezuela has held this particular gift for 80 years. They have shaped it, invested in it, sent their sons into it, built their collective identity partly around it. The final score of 3-2 does not capture what the game meant. The game itself, played at the kind of compact, intense, edge-of-seat pace that late tournament baseball produces, was close from the first pitch to the last. Venezuela took the lead in the fourth inning and held it through a sequence of innings that required their bullpen to produce increasingly precise baseball against an American lineup that contained some of the best professional hitters in the world. They held 3-2, final. Every Venezuelan baseball player knows the specific feeling of being on a field where the American team is the opponent and the entire weight of the history between these two countries, the oil, the politics, the immigration, the complicated negotiations of culture and power is being carried on 9 men's shoulders at a time. The American roster in that game contained players whose contracts were worth more than Venezuela's annual baseball budget. Some of them were from Venezuela. The game was played between two collections of extraordinary athletes who had come to the sport through entirely different paths and who represented in their competition something larger than baseball. Venezuela's win was a baseball win. It was also something that a country that has been surviving rather than thriving for a decade needed to feel. In Miami, the celebration continued through the night. In Caracas, people who had woken up that morning without reliable electricity and without certainty about what the next week would bring stayed in the streets past midnight, carrying flags, singing, calling relatives who had left for other cities and other countries. Baseball came to Venezuela as an import. It was sent back as a championship. The question of what a country is, when its people are scattered across the world and its institutions are strained and its future is uncertain, sometimes finds its answer in a specific moment that has nothing to do with politics or economics or history, and everything to do with a ball dropping into a glove and a dugout emptying and 20,000 people finding something deeper than a scream. Venezuela found that answer in late March of 2026. The rest of the Caribbean was watching and recognized something in it.